Welcome. You are listening to Our Burning Questions, a professional learning podcast where we love to talk about teaching multilingual learners. I'm your host, Colette Ferrone Goodwin, and I'm a resource specialist on the ENL team with the Mid-State Regional Bilingual Education Resource Network at OCM BOCES in Syracuse, New York. Thanks for joining us. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Our Burning Questions. Our burning questions for today are, what is out there in the world of school library systems in terms of resources for ELLs and their teachers? And how can school librarians create spaces where families of ELLs feel welcome? And here to address these questions today are my guests, Allison Combs and Alicia Sherman. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Thanks so much for being here. I would like to just take a few minutes and just have you introduce yourself. Tell us your title, your role, your position, what your special areas of interest are, and what your experience is working with ELLs.
Sure. I'm Allison Combs. My title is Systems Librarian for the O2 CM School Library System. So we are Onondaga, Oswego, Cortland, Madison County, parts of them. So I support the technology needs, library needs of those districts, and I guess I am pretty tech heavy in terms of what my interest lies. I am an avid reader. I love fantasy and romance novels, and I don't have a ton of experience working with ELLs. I've only ever really been in the classroom for my student teaching, to be honest. Then I kind of have been supporting librarians throughout my career. They've been my students.
Awesome. And also, you know, Allie, you and I are we're colleagues. We work in the same instructional support services at OCM BOCES, so
yeah.
We work closely.
Yeah, we've collaborated on
stuff. We have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lots of things. Yeah. Welcome. Alicia.
Hi, so I'm Alicia Sherman. I am an instructional support specialist for school librarians at BT BOCES, which is Broome Tioga BOCES. My position there would be I do a lot of professional learning sessions with teachers and librarians, okay. Focusing heavy on technology, coding, robotics, electronics, mm-hmm. but also library practices and resources, online databases, stuff like that. My special areas of interest, I am super into reading for fun and promoting reading for fun and tweeting about reading for fun. And so that's, I'm always talking to people about what they want to read and what they have read and if they like it or if they don't. So that's what I love to do, is just talk to people about their books, whether they love them or not. Mm-hmm. And as far as working with ELLs, I spent 5 years as an elementary librarian, so I just have experience from that time, you know, working with the kids and their teachers just to provide them with resources for fun mm-hmm. and also for class.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you mentioned that you tweet about reading, so perhaps maybe we can share your Twitter. Perhaps we can share your Twitter
so
handle.
So I'm at the book teacher. I'm not super active. It comes and goes. I'm at the book teacher on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those things. My kids have tried to convince me to do book talks on TikTok. Mm. So maybe coming soon.
Okay.
We'll see. I don't know if I'm quite that brave. But hey, guys, I just read a book. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Right. Okay. So sometimes, you know, as ENL teachers, you know, we feel that, you know, we need something to support our ELLs, but we don't really know where to look. We don't even know where to begin looking. So what questions could a teacher ask of their library media specialist, or what info would be helpful for a teacher to share with someone in order to begin looking for resources for their ELLs?
So I think we kind of surveyed the librarians out in our district mm-hmm. just to get some feedback for the people who are on the ground in the buildings doing this work, mm-hmm. And they came back with a lot of great suggestions. The thing that stood out to me was just kind of trying to hone in on the student's interest. Mm-hmm. So if we're trying to encourage this love of reading, like right. Alicia's talking about, mm-hmm. just knowing that the interest of the student lies in, let's say, race cars. I'm gonna get you books on race cars, and then I'm gonna kind of go from there. I think they also really wanted to know specifics, like, is there multiple languages being spoken at home? Mm-hmm. What's the reading level like-ish, just to gauge where we should be trying to pull these resources from. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I was just gonna say the same thing. Coming from an elementary library, we have the advantage of seeing the kids every week. So if I know you like cats, mm-hmm. I'm gonna get out my cat books and be like, oh my gosh, look at this one's new, you haven't seen it yet. As far as resources for class, that is something where we would like to talk to teachers, like, hey, we're gonna be studying monarch butterflies, we're gonna be studying the water cycle. Do you have any resources either in the home language or in a lower, you know, English level, mm-hmm. reading level, right. Just to, you know, support them with the curriculum so they're also, you know, able to participate in class. As much as I just want them to read books for fun, mm-hmm. I understand they have to also, you know, right. participate in class. So just trying to right. find them those resources that they can use yeah. to and do their work.
Yeah, and the interest, I think, is really key. It's you know, if they can make a connection, sure. any kind of connection, then, you know, I think it makes the difference, yes. right?
And I think as librarians, we're just so willing to help. So whatever, it's our job to curate those resources. So as long as you give us like a general, like, you know, like the monarch butterflies, or it doesn't even have to be that specific. But if you get us to the area of the assignment, mm-hmm. we can talk it over.
Yeah.
So.
Is there a way for teachers to like communicate with you, or are there suggestions in terms of like ways to communicate, like a list or something, or I don't know, just some way to communicate those needs in terms of like a database or something?
Really, the kind of varies by district,
yeah.
I think.
Okay.
I think, you know, we have our listserv where we can kind of, again, do that great brain where we'll get questions
right.
like, oh, I'm looking for something mm-hmm. in Russian,
okay.
help this student.
Yeah.
But I think it's just more having the conversation between the
okay.
all the parties. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say, again, coming
yeah.
from elementary library,
yeah.
I see the kids and their
yeah.
teacher every week. So it's like, hey, Alicia, we need
yeah.
something on this or that.
Yeah.
Emails are fantastic. But then also something I've tried to do in the past, and honestly wasn't always super successful, is just if you provide your librarian with kind of like a curriculum map. Like, this
mm-hmm.
is kind of the general topics we're going to be looking at this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know, you know, certain books come around at certain times of the year, but if you've got a plan to study rocks or biographies or whatever, just
yeah.
kind of give us a heads up that it's coming
okay.
down the line, and we'll see if we can get it together for you.
Yeah.
Right. If you know you're doing that state project every year,
mm-hmm.
let's get you some
yeah.
some resources.
Yeah. So yeah, so it does require a little bit of planning, right, ahead
yes.
of time, just so that you know you have time to look and research
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
and find what they're looking for. So in terms of, so you know, English language learners, we know they have to connect with the content. But also, it's important if they are able to read in their home language. What are the multilingual database options that are available for students?
So we talked about this a lot because we know that this podcast has a broad reach.
Mm-hmm.
And for New York State, there's something provided by the Department of Library Development
mm-hmm.
called Novel New York. And that's a set of databases paid for by the state
mm-hmm.
that everyone in New York State has access to, regardless
mm-hmm.
of whether you're downstate, upstate,
mm-hmm.
In Buffalo, wherever.
Okay.
So we can give you that link
okay.
and you can log right in. Most of them use geo-authentication. So as long as you're coming from an IP within New York State, it's gonna let
okay.
the students in without a username or password.
Okay.
So there's Britannica, which everybody knows, Encyclopedia Britannica,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and there are they rely on, I think it's Google Translate, to mm-hmm. translate the articles.
Okay.
And then there's the Gale databases, a suite of Gale databases, mm-hmm. and they also have elementary, middle, and high, okay. Kind of broken up like that.
Okay.
Also relies on Google Translate, mm-hmm. and I know I'm forgetting something.
So we had talked about this because it's going to be BroomTag of BOCES people have different resources than your people, so we're mm-hmm. trying to keep this general.
Right.
The beautiful thing, so Novel New York is, like she said, the one thing that everybody can have access to.
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful thing about Novel New York is that it's not just for school-age students. Like, my brother's in college, and he mm-hmm. uses it to do research. There's things on there for if you're looking for a job. So again, as long as you live, or if you're physically in New York, you have access to the database. And
okay.
once you get in there, there's lots of resources. And like Allie said, with the Gale databases and the Britannica resources, they're all translatable. Some
okay.
of them have a read to me feature. Some of them you can pick like reading level one or reading level two,
mm-hmm.
a little harder, a little easier.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to go if you want to read to learn or if you're doing research with something.
And so for the Novel New York website, if people are outside of New York, will they not be able to access it at all, or how does that work?
So I believe there is an option where you can log in with a library card number. I've
oh.
never used it. I've seen
okay.
it pop up. I know we have, in our area, because we're so close to PA, we have some
mm-hmm.
people that live
right.
really close to PA or just
right.
a little bit in PA.
Right.
So they have that issue.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think, and if you're coming from a district website,
mm-hmm.
There is one like master password that will get you in. So if you talk to your school librarian, they should know
yeah,
that.
Secret password.
Oh,
that's super secret.
Oh, the secret pack password. Awesome.
All right, great.
So you've shared several links for databases, which is great. I'm sure that offers a lot of resources. Could you share some of your favorite websites or apps that also offer multilingual access?
Sure. And we talked about this again a little bit.
Yeah.
With Epic is one of the apps where we haven't really been able to explore it because of student privacy and that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
but because if you're coming from home, you can download Epic and read books in multiple languages on a device.
Okay.
So that was one that comes to mind.
Okay. I have lots. So one is, this is why I have my notes here.
Awesome.
So one is Unite for Literacy. It is completely free. The books are elementary age. That reminds me of like, I'm gonna go sit at the table with my teacher and work on my reading. They're like very simple books about animals or careers or something
mm-hmm.
like that, just repeating sentences, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful thing about them is that they can be narrated in dozens of languages. So whether you want them to listen to the English to practice that, or they
oh,
just
wow.
you know wanna listen in their home language,
mm-hmm.
That is a fantastic resource, uniteforliteracy.com. It is free. You don't have to log in. You just click around. You search for cats. I'm a cat person, so you will see all of my references when you're about cats.
Yeah.
You can just poke around and just click on a book to listen to it, and then, read along as well.
Okay.
Audible Stories is another thing that is free. You do not have to log in. You don't have to have an Audible account. Just
mm-hmm.
Google Audible Stories, and it opens up a database of free audiobooks.
Wow.
They're not awesome. I mean, you're not going to find some, Dog Man on there, Wimpy Kid or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's some good books on there, some classics on there. There are authors
yeah.
like Kwame Alexander and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. And so the kids could listen in English. And I believe it said there are 8 different languages available. So English, French, German, Spanish,
wow.
Italian, Japanese, Hindi, and Dutch. So the kids can listen to all of those
Fantastic.
For free. The problem is because you're not logging in, you're not creating an account, it doesn't save your spot,
mm.
right? So if you listen
mm-hmm.
to 2 hours of book and then have to
yeah.
go somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you're going to lose your place. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, just kind of remember.
Is there an option to download or?
No, it's just
okay.
like a click here, listen to the book.
Ah, okay.
It's just right
gotcha.
There on your device. It's nothing you can save or log into.
Okay.
And the other one we had talked about yesterday, which isn't necessarily even an L resource, it's a fantastic for everybody, as Storyline Online.
Yes.
I think it was started by
it's the Screen Actor Guild.
Kristen Bell or somebody
yeah.
in the...
Yeah.
Jennifer...
Garner.
So it is celebrities reading picture books.
Oh.
It is a fantastic resource. There are fantastic books. Betty White is on there.
Oh.
It's just a great place for kids to go. Again, you don't have to log in. You don't have to have a username or password. You just click on a book and listen to somebody read you a story.
Yeah, and they give you two options. You can either view it on YouTube or another site that's not, because they know some people are blocked on YouTube, so there's another site where you can access the content. Okay. So.
All right, awesome.
Yeah, so those are, again, freebies that you don't have to log into or have to worry about passwords.
Now, are there any apps? Are those apps also or just websites?
Well, Audible has the app, and Epic is definitely an app-based book platform.
Okay.
In terms of apps, what was the other one I was looking at the other day? Oh, nope, that's a login. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Well, if you know, we're going to curate a list to share with our viewers and our listeners. So if you think of anything, we'll definitely add it.
Something we can plug really quick. This, again, is not for everybody everywhere, but contact your school library system or your school librarian. A lot of us are now curating digital ebook and audiobook collections through an app called Sora. So that would require the child to log in to get access to the text, but we do have books in there that they can read or listen to on an app.
Okay.
And I know in our case, it's something that is provided regionally, and I know a lot of other school library systems in the state are doing that, and we kind of hold back a separate pot of money to buy titles on the fly based on student needs. So if we know that they're going to be reading, I can't think, To Kill a Mockingbird, and we'd like that in Spanish, can we get that as an audiobook in Spanish as well? We have the funds to kind of go in and add things on the fly, and I think we're getting better about having more audio content. I think when we started our collection, we were very ebook heavy, and I think we're kind of seeing all the sides of benefits of having the audio version.
Yeah. Just the audio, no.
Well, there are some titles in the Sora app that are considered read-along. So it will it's an actor reading the narration and it highlights the word as you go. There's other apps that kind of do something similar. But that does live within the OverDrive collection. Sora. So I'm using OverDrive and Sora interchangeably.
Yeah.
Sora is the name of the app and OverDrive is the name of the company. But you're looking for Sora. And the benefit of Sora is that you can add your public library accounts to that. And I think Alicia's going to talk about that in a little while.
Awesome. Now, there was something else I was going to mention and I forget what it was. I think it had to do with Battle of the Books, because I know you participate with Battle of the Books, too.
Yes.
Have you had any opportunities to work with ELLs, or are those books, are they able to be translated if someone's competing in the Battle of the Books?
We've worked with some students that are specifically using the audio version of the title just build comprehension and of that particular title for our Battle of the Books. And I think coming soon, there's going to be a statewide across the multiple school library systems of the Battle of the Books. So I figured we'll probably have to get a little bit more familiar with what is available in the different languages.
I would like to Battle of the Books with you.
You would?
Yes.
Okay.
I sure would.
Okay.
I've never done it.
It's a lot of planning.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
It's a lot of reading too.
Yes, it's fun though. It's really fun.
Yeah. I know. I when I worked in the elementary level, because I also taught pre-K to six as well, and I had the opportunity to help with the Battle of the Books, and it's really cool to see these kids read all these books and then find all of this information, and then they find the same information in a different book that you really weren't expecting it to be, and they have to challenge it. So it's just
It's very cool.
And it's, and the kits were great this year. Like, we were so nervous to have it on the digital platform because we hope that's how we hosted the battles this year. And it went really well. I couldn't believe how well it went, actually. Yeah. I was ready for something to go awry, but.
So you did it via Zoom?
We did.
Oh, okay.
We did it via Zoom. Mm. And actually, it was nice because it allowed us to have more teams because we were starting to be limited just spatially on where we could have a battle.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome.
It was good.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So in terms of like resources and vendors, do you have any popular multilingual resources and vendors that you might be able to share with us?
So I think most vendors have materials in multiple languages. Mm-hmm. We've worked with a few that came up on that list a few times when we kind of solicited advice from our librarians in the region.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was Mackin, that kept coming up.
Mm-hmm.
The other it was Follett. And then I know for us at O Squared CM, we worked with Gumdrop Books and purchased an AV2 collection, which is some nonfiction titles where you have the physical book in English and then you can go online and have it in 28 different languages. So, and they were great to work with. So I would say Gumdrop, and they're on the New York State contract.
Mm-hmm.
So is Mackin, so is Follett. And then, the other thing that we were able to do with Gumdrop is get some bilingual books to build kind of kits, because we, again, wanted reading to be a family activity too.
Mm-hmm.
So bring the books home. Maybe the student is reading in English and the parent is reading in the native language or homespoken. Sorry.
Home language.
Okay.
And just to add to that quickly, not so much in times of COVID, but we do have a pretty fantastic network of interlibrary loaning.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the districts in my region can even borrow books from colleges and universities around the country, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always, again, with some notice, we've
been
able to hunt down some fantastic resources for people.
For sure.
Yeah.
So has that been limited during COVID?
Yes, I know in our region, I think statewide it's kind of banned. We're just loaning, like BT BOCES, we're only sharing with each other. Maybe that's the same case for you guys, but we're all kind of keeping them close to home this year. But hopefully in the fall,
you
know, things will be up and running again and we can start sharing books with everybody.
We also opted not to go outside the districts. We were just in the districts.
Yeah.
But I mean, like Alicia said, you can get it from... We've gotten it as far away as Alaska, and you know we'll get wherever.
Okay. And I'm sure things are opening up now.
Yes.
For sure. We're moving towards getting back to that again, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Ellie, I was gonna. You keep bringing up O squared CM.
Yes.
So, you know, our listeners and our viewers might be wondering, what does that mean? Because we talk about OCM BOCES, but you're using O squared MBOCES.
Yes. So. I think it was July of 2019, OCM SLS merged with Oswego or City BOCES SLS. So now we're O squared. We've got Onondaga, Oswego, Cortland, Madison. So while the SLS merged, OCM has just stayed its own entity and City has stayed its own entity. And there's a couple, you guys are probably one too if you're, no, you're just BT. But there's another three SLSs, I think, that have emerged across the state.
Okay.
And it's just kind of, sometimes it's advantageous just.
Yeah. I was going to ask what the benefits are of doing that.
I don't know if I can say.
Okay. All right.
No, it's, there's an incentive to from the state to merge if you can, and it makes sense for your users, a financial incentive, and that's like forever we're supposed to get it. So, and I think, you know, with a smaller SLS merging with like a medium-sized SLS, we were able to provide support in areas that hadn't been supported because of staff restraints, just based on size.
Right. Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry. I don't know.
No, that's okay. That's fine. That's totally fine. And just to clarify for our listeners that maybe are not familiar, SLS stands for
School Library System. Their
acronyms are everywhere.
Yes,
Even with when you're working with L's, ELL, MLL, ML, ENL, ESOL. That they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So getting back to the resources, I know we took a little bit of a detour there, but getting back to the resources, what are some cool things that in terms of technology, tech options, transcripts and things like that, that are helpful for L's, can you suggest?
Sure. I think I'll talk a little bit about one extension that we know of, and I'm going to get it wrong. I think it's called Text Help, and it's an extension for Google Chrome that will take written and read it back to you. So if students are struggling with the editing process, maybe that would be beneficial to have it read back to them. Okay. So text to speech. Mm-hmm. And then there's also another extension, Read Write, which will take the speech to text in a Google document and type what the student is saying for them. Mm-hmm. There's also some other settings within the Chromebook where you can change the language, the default language. Mm-hmm. And those are all things that were, again, recommended to us by the librarians who kind of completed this survey for us. So I think they're pretty knowledgeable. So you can go poke them and be like, hey, explain more to me. Yeah. And again, there's tons of things that can be translated. It's just a matter of what exactly are you looking for. Mm-hmm. So
All right. Yeah, and I know I think YouTube also has a translation feature.
I
have notes here on how to do it. Maybe we can put it in our things. But
sure.
Yeah, you can translate. And again, it's not a perfect translation, right? There's going to be some mistakes in there where the kids will be like, well, what's the name? But yes, you can translate videos on YouTube. I saw a thing, and again, I don't know how to do it, but you can actually put closed captioning on your Google Slide deck. So I've seen people just put up a Google Slide deck and not use it, just hide it in the background, and then their words just pop up on the bottom of the screen. It's not even part of the presentation. It's just there for kids who are, or anybody who's in the room and just wants to read along. So that is a cool tool.
However,
is going to be where I give a plug to the New York Public Library. Not exactly a techie tool, but anybody who lives or works in New York State can get a New York Public Library card. I'm looking at you guys. I want you to go home, get a New York Public Library card, nypl.org, and get a card is right there on the screen. Mm-hmm. And it is an amazing resource because not only do they have, so we were talking about Sora, ebooks and audiobooks. Mm-hmm. They use the same company, Overdrive, but they loan out books through Libby. All right. So if you're at home and you're putting apps on your phone, you want Sora, you want Libby. With your New York Public Library card, they have access to thousands and thousands of ebooks and audiobooks. Classics.
Their budget is way more hefty.
They have so much more money than we do. If a new book comes out that's super popular, maybe we can spring for two copies. New York Public Library can
100.
Get 100 copies.
Wow.
So just know that that's a place. And I was on there yesterday, and I put it in my notes. There's something 20 languages that they provide audiobooks in, including Spanish, German, Arabic, Russian, Hebrew, Turkish, Chinese. So anybody that's just looking to listen to a book or read a book, again, for fun, because I'm the for fun lady, right? you can go there and find things in tons of languages, right?
Yeah.
And again, if you're just, you can even just listen in English. I tried to learn Greek for a while, full disclosure, by reading a Harry Potter book in Greek. And then I tried, I'll just listen to the Harry Potter in Greek, and then I'll know how to speak Greek.
Yeah.
It didn't work, but it was still a cool experience. You get an idea for the pacing of the language and some of the sense and structures or whatever.
Right.
So again, it's free to have a card. I think all you do is you email a picture of your license, proof of residency, and then they send you a card. Digitally, and then you can access. But beyond their ebooks and audiobooks, they have, and I was poking around the other day for you guys, online tutoring and SAT prep classes. They have For smaller kids, they do story time at home or online story time. So there's all those kind of resources on there.
And they have bilingual story times too.
Yes. And they also have something called Mango Languages, which is where, again, I wanted to learn Greek. So I signed up for Mango to try to learn Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have, beyond, you know, me wanting to learn another language, they said, learn English from 21 mother tongues. So if you already speak Spanish, click here to learn English if you already know Spanish, or click here to learn English if you already know French. So that is a fantastic resource for anybody. It's summertime's coming up. Let's learn another language.
I have to check that out because, you know, I'm a language nerd, so I'm totally going
to
check that out.
Sign language right now as well.
I
actually keep emailing Mango. I'm like, do you have this an ASL course? Are you getting an ASL course? And they're like, no, Alicia, we're not doing that. It's not our vision.
They know you by name?
I think they do it. It's like three times a year. I also emailed Volkswagen about bringing back the bus. But anyway, MYPL.org, get a card. There are fantastic online resources.
And
you
really
never have to set foot in a New York public library to have access to their digital resources. It used to be you had to go physically to pick up a card and then you could access. Now it's like, nah, we'll email you your number and your PIN and you're good to go.
Yeah, and I mean, the minute I got that temporary barcode that they send you, like, as it generates it, I was able to get into all their databases, all their stuff. So in addition to some of that Gale content and the Britannica content that you get through Novel New York, you also can get access to New York Public's databases, which don't necessarily vary greatly from what Novel has, but every once in a while they'll try something new and have a different resource that, like Mango, like something that's not provided. And I know locally, Onondaga County Public Library System provides Hoopla to its cardholders, and so I would strongly recommend seeking out Hoopla as well if you through your public library, because while OverDrive's fantastic, it is a one copy, one user model. So it is possible that the title that you want is not going to be available at that time. So you would be put on a holds list. But there's, with Hoopla, it is simultaneous use. So right now you could go on to Hoopla and, if you're me or apparently Alicia, listen to Harry Potter, and you don't have to wait for that book to come in. It'll just always be available. So that is the advantage of Hoopla.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I would think that, you know, the digital would kind of eliminate that problem.
There's some vendors who will do, and again, it's a publisher issue. So they're trying to get their bang for their buck.
Gotcha.
But there's some publishers who sell rights for like 100 concurrent users. So you don't necessarily have to wait for it to be checked in.
Right.
You could all be using 100 licenses at one time.
Okay.
But that's, again, only like one or two publishers.
Okay. For the most part, it's the same as a physical book. If you have it, I can't have it till you give it back.
Okay. Oh, yep. Interesting. Okay. See, you learn something new every day. So thank you so much for sharing all of those awesome resources. You know, I can't wait to check them out. And we will compile a list and share this with the recording, absolutely. So I want to talk about Ls and their families. How can, you know, school librarians create spaces where Ls and their families feel welcome? Are there some community building activities that you've seen that are inclusive for all families in the community that you could share?
So this is hard in times of COVID, right? Because nobody's really visiting schools. Mm. And generally, school librarians work with the kids, right? We don't have a lot of contact with parents. But I would say, you know, when things open back up again, I feel like the library is often ignored in like an open house, a school open house or parent night. People like fly by to see the regular classroom teachers and don't often stop by the library, you know, or the gymnasium or the music room. So definitely stop by and see the people. I know for me, I always had like photo opportunities, little selfie stations. I would pass out any information I had regarding public library programming. And this is where we kind of talked about switching things over to public libraries, because this is the place where your families are going to get a lot of programming. You know, they do classes on how to set up your Facebook page and how to make a Google site and, and events for the kids, especially now that summer's coming around, you know, with outdoor activities and reading incentives and stuff like that. As far as school libraries, that depends on the librarian. I used to do some after-school clubs, you know, and maybe would see the parents when they were picking up the kids, but generally we don't get a lot of contact with them.
Yeah.
But I do say if you're ever in the building, please stop by and, you know, introduce yourself and, you know, the librarian's going to be like, what are you reading? What do you want to read? What are your kids reading? You know, have a couple, you know, a chat about books and just, you know, get to know them a little bit.
That's a good suggestion.
And I think we've heard of some librarians in the district doing, like, family book clubs and that sort of thing. Again, I'm not sure. I don't know how many parents are being let into the buildings at this point. But
I know.
And then some of our librarians were doing, you know, game nights on Zoom. So, again, an opportunity to kind of do something together as a family. So just keep an eye out for those types of activities. I think it's, again, it's easy and it's something that would be inclusive to host. You know, it's not...
And you know, I wonder because a lot of times, you know, families, if the parents don't speak English well, it could be that they're reluctant to come to school because they don't understand. What are some ways that you might be able to help parents feel more comfortable about that coming into school?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this a little bit in relation to, like, the difficulty, like, navigating Google Classroom during the pandemic and where, like, one teacher had all her stuff living here and the other teacher had all of their stuff living here for my own child. And I was just wondering, are we doing a good enough job helping parents who don't speak English? So, and how, what would it look like to get us there? And I don't think we are, and I don't know what the solution is, but I think it's something we really need to be cognizant of. And I guess maybe then some targeted emails, or depending on the if your school uses Remind for text messages, maybe something like that. Again, targeted, kind of just creating a welcoming opportunity to open a dialogue about their child and what are your needs, and is there someplace I can point you to in the community to if you're looking for, because again, we're buddy buddies with the public librarians. So we might know of somebody who could help you set up your Facebook page. So again, just opening up the dialogue, I think, is what, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest challenges is communication, right? So we know that, you know, from a regulation point of view, that the communications from schools must come in the language that the parent best understands. And so it would be helpful, you know, even to reach out to families from the librarian, right? And have that letter translated and say, hey, you know, this is, you know, this is what we have to offer. And
maybe even you could just open up that line of communication through the teacher, right? Through their teachers, like, how, you know, I got something to send along, let me give it to you so you can pass it on for me. Or
And some of our vendors do have, like, how-tos in multiple languages, or like Sora has a getting started guide or a welcome letter for parents. In Spanish in particular is the one I'm thinking of. So again, thinking about the whole instead of the part.
I was just thinking about a resource that the New York City Department of Education had created this series of instructional videos on how to access Google Classroom. And they translated it into, I don't know, like 20 different languages or something, 10 or 20, I don't know. Don't quote me on the number. But so it was this instructional video that had been translated into different different languages. So, you know, that's
awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it's, and we talked about this a little bit too, you know, we tend to reinvent the wheel a little bit. So we just have to just really be willing to collaborate with anybody and all to just make sure that everybody's supported.
That's a good point, because it can be overwhelming. If you're trying to recreate the wheel, and it's helpful to know that these resources are out there, you just have to know where to look.
Right.
Right.
And that's what librarians are really good at.
Yeah. Yes. See, that's the thing. Everybody thinks I mean, I love to read, don't get me wrong, but people think librarians are only good for, like, book recommendations. It's like, I love to research. Like, if you're filling out a college application or student loan paperwork, or I love looking up that information. I love helping you fill out those forms. Yeah. So definitely reach out to your librarian for any kind of research needs that you have.
We're that kind of geek.
We are. And like I said, the Novel New York, you know, if you're looking for a job, if you're doing research for a college class, there's just information on there for everybody.
Yeah.
And even if we don't, like, sit next to you and do the work for you, we can say, hey, this, you know, there's something for you here. Just take a few minutes and poke around.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we kind of do that too as resource specialists.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're always looking things up because people have questions and, you know, they reach out. And so we look things up and go, hey, this might be helpful.
Yes.
You know, like yesterday I looked up an article about the difference between Farsi and Dari, which was very interesting, you know, because I'm a language nerd. But somebody had asked about resources for a student who spoke Dari. And I found out that Dari and Farsi are similar. So I said, well, you know, New York State doesn't have anything, you know, the bilingual glossaries in Dari, but they have it in Farsi. So here, try this, see if this works, and let me know. And maybe I will reach out to you, Allie, and if I hear back from them, because I think it was also a school librarian that was reaching out that wanted some information. So
awesome.
So, yeah.
And so you talked about glossaries, and I'm just going to... I'm going to throw it to Alicia here because it's reminding of me of how you said that you, when you knew that you had L's in your community, you would buy like the dictionaries.
Yeah. So something I had a very strong collection of, like, you know, picture dictionaries in Spanish or French or German or Russian, just so the other kids, right, the English speakers could learn a few words and say, you know, this is how you say hello, this is how you say cat.
Oh, yeah.
So I always had a strong collection of books like that for the other kids to check out so they could learn a few words. And, and sometimes we'd show them and be like, is this right? How do you say this one? How do you say that one? So I highly recommend if your library doesn't have some foreign language dictionaries that you purchase some, because those, you know, again, everybody likes to learn a few words in other languages.
Yeah.
So definitely.
And those picture dictionaries are fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I mean, I know everything's online, but make it fun.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
So.
Yeah, and that's really important too, because, you know, it also makes English language learners feel welcome.
Right.
And it also confirms for them that that their language is important.
Right.
Sure.
It's important to other people, and so therefore will be important to them as well. So, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was an awesome suggestion. So. In terms of a tool or a means of support, what do you think is the most beneficial thing that a school library has to offer for multilingual learners?
I think, again, it's that ability to point somebody in the right direction, because Neil Gaiman has this great quote about librarians. It's like Google can bring you back 100,000 answers, but a librarian's going to bring you back the right one. Something like that.
Yes, I know. Yep.
Neil Gaiman has a quote for everything.
Search engines with hearts or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
I think that's probably the biggest, is just that to help you it's overwhelming. So let's use librarians as a means to narrow down what you're looking for. And I guess just the fact that we really are about equity and access, and like that's in all of our mission statements, I feel. So we're here to make sure that you have the closest experience to everybody else, you know, that equity. So that's what we're looking for you, and we will make it happen. And so use us.
So the whole conversation, I feel, has just been about, like, let us help you, you know, with whatever you need for resources. I will jump through hoops. If there's a kid that wants to read a book for fun, I will jump through hoops to get that book for them in English, in Spanish, whatever. Just let us know what you need. Give us a little time. Give us a little time to hunt down the right resources, and you know, we'll see what we can do. And if we can't do it, then that's when we'd be like, hey, why don't you try, you know, the public library has something that might work for you, or the New York State Library has something that might work for you.
We're really good at remembering that stuff, like who has what. So we'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah. I know. I collect a lot of resources too. They're not books, but they're, you know, a lot of resources, and I have them categorized. Wait a minute. Didn't I see something on this website that I could maybe share to this person? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So I can relate.
Yes.
I can relate. I'm on your level. I'm totally there. So, what questions, thinking about, you know, being a school librarian, what questions would you ask an ENL teacher as a library media specialist in order to know how to best support ELLs?
Okay, so questions I have asked in the mm-hmm. past is, one of the big ones for me was always like, okay, are you looking for resources in the home language mm-hmm. or in English?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that was always a big one. Like, are we reading a book for fun in the home language because we just want them to have some fun reading a book? Are we giving them a book in English because we want them, you know, to start learning sentence structure and dialogue mm-hmm. and all that? So that was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, again, for me, when I met kids in library mm-hmm. class, it was, hi, what is your name? What kind of books do you like to read? I want to know your interests. I mm-hmm. actually write it on the attendance sheet, so I know Allie likes cats and coffee. If I get mm-hmm. a book about cats or a book about coffee, I'm going to be like, mm-hmm. Allie, I came in. Like, so I definitely want to know what you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, beyond that, too, there's some kids that like to read nonfiction for fun.
Mm-hmm.
They like magazines, graphic novels, so I want to know what you want, so when it's ready,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can make sure it gets into the right hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then for teachers, it would just be like, what are you teaching next? What are you teaching mm-hmm. next month?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to track down some resources for you? It's so much
mm-hmm.
easier now that almost everything is digital.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in the day when we had a book, you know, carts on a book, it was harder,
mm-hmm.
right, to find these
right.
Different resources. But now
yeah.
it's a matter of, we've got so many amazing databases provided by
mm-hmm.
the BOCES, provided by
yeah.
the schools, provided by the state, that, you know, chances are we're going to be able to find something you need,
yeah.
you know, to get that research done, to get, you know, that
yep.
that reading done. So
I know, I was just thinking back to my college career and the card catalogs, and having to, you know, when you did research for a paper or something, you had to like go through the card catalogs
yes.
and look them up and make a list and then actually go and pull all those books out and see if, you know, they were what you wanted. And I remember, you know, schlepping 20
yes.
books across campus.
It's
so,
not like they weren't just email.
It's so much
send
easier
an email
now.
We'll put a little pile in your mailbox
yeah.
for you. It's not, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's so much easier
people
now.
Intimidated, like, I don't know where anything is. Like, I can't find the books on cats. So, you
yeah.
know, again,
yeah.
cats.
yeah,
just let
I'm
whoever in nature
person.
Oh, you're a dog person. Dogs. Yeah, but just let us know. Like, so don't get
yeah.
intimidated by the number of books or the
mm-hmm.
space. Like, hey, this is what I've got going on.
Yeah.
You know, what do you have?
Yeah.
And then we'll see what we can do.
All right.
Yeah, and I think it's also like if you have any insight as the classroom teacher into the student in general, like
mm-hmm.
the student's a little bit shyer, or that those are also
yeah.
good heads up
mm-hmm.
to have
mm-hmm.
to know how to
mm-hmm.
engage them in the
mm-hmm.
in the library classroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you had mentioned it before about like reading level, but
mm-hmm.
proficiency level is also right. Proficiency level in English is also helpful to know too,
sure.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Just so that you know like at what level, or you know what the student's comfortable reading at
mm-hmm.
as well.
Right, but no, sometimes too, it's okay if they just want to take a book and flip through the pictures.
That's a very
so.
Good point as well.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right, right? We
yep.
we certainly don't want to limit them, and you know.
For sure, yeah. I mean, and I think that's in another place where audiobooks can come in, because I'm
mm-hmm.
a big audiobook nerd, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my 6-year-old is
yeah.
listening to Harry Potter with me in the car, and
nice.
Lots of stuff just flies right over her head, but some of it, she's like, I have questions, Mom. Like, so I think, you know, it's...
That's wonderful, though.
Yeah, it's whatever they can glom onto and
mm-hmm.
kind of make that...
Make a connection.
Connection.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I have to say, it's been awesome talking with both of you ladies.
Thank
it's,
you.
Me too, Colette.
I have, you know, I really enjoyed seeing, like, the excitement and the passion when you talk about books and reading and... It's just warms my heart. I love it. So, Allison and Alicia, I want to thank you so much especially you, for driving up from Binghamton
yes.
today to be
That's
with
right.
us in person.
I'm going to Trader Joe's after
us. Awesome.
It's
awesome.
A treat for me.
So, I really appreciate you both being here, and I enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And we will be sure, and we'll, you know, share your Twitter
yep.
handle and any other resources that we've talked about today on our site. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to learn more about the brilliant guest we had on today's episode or any of the resources we discussed, please visit the Mid-State Auburn webpage. This podcast is produced by Mid-State Auburn at OCM BOCES, and our theme music is Catalyst from Purple Planet Music. We hope that you'll tune in next time for more of Our Burning Questions.